Well, good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. A lot more folks here in the sanctuary this morning. That's great. Praise the Lord. Well, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing "There Is No Other Name." There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. And such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flows to me. In my unrighteousness, this is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me. In my unrighteousness, this is why my heart and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you. a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name and thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
With him.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Who reigns forevermore.
Amen.
We do have a birthday.
Awesome.
Yeah, birthday today. All right, good to see each and every one of you this morning. All right, we'll sing our birthdays, and then we're going to have children's church, right?
Amen.
All right, let's do a children's church thing. That'll be fun. Amen. All right, our birthday. Oh, and she's not here, Miss Vicki. Sharon Heiberger. May 1st. She's going to have a birthday May 1st. Miss Sharon, happy birthday if you're watching us online. Happy birthday to you on May the 1st. All right, let's sing Miss Sharon some happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. And many more. Woo. And then we have some special members back with us. You may have seen them come in, right? Marshall and Peggy Murray back in the house. Good to see you guys. How's the eyes? Are the eyes seeing good? Pretty good? Pretty good. Amen. All right. Well, all right. Well, you probably figuring out I'm not as good looking as you thought I was. Amen. My eyes coming into focus. Amen. Good to have y'all back with us. All right, we got some children's church. We want to be gone today. All right, children. Here we go. Got a good group there going out. All right, all right. Mm-hmm. I'll try to get this mint eat by the time y'all get out, huh? Oh, watch out, Ron. Don't run over them. All right. Y'all have a good children's church. Boy, your boys better catch up, man. My goodness. Those of you watching us online, good to have you today with us. We're always thankful to have you with us. Thank you for your continued support. Many of you you can't be here, but you're with us in spirit, and you send in your checks, and you tithe, and you give an offering, and you help keep this thing afloat. It takes everybody, right? And so we're thankful for those watching us online today, and we're thankful for you here in the midst of us. Thank you. Just a special thanks to everybody that's, kind of bore the brunt of this COVID-19. You've been faithful keeping your masks on and all of that stuff, and you've not made a big contentious issue out of it, and I'm so thankful for that as your pastor that you've been you know, even though you may not have agreed with all of the policy, but you've really, you know, you kind of stayed the course with us and everything. Starting next Sunday, we're just asking you to wear the mask in and wear the mask out. If you want to keep it on during the service, you keep it on during the service. If you want to take it off during the service, you take it off during the service. It's going to be an optional thing starting next Sunday and there forward. So mask wearing in, mask wearing out. I will continue to receive folks outside just to let the breeze blow everybody's stuff away. Amen? So I'm pretty much through wearing a mask outside anyway. So, you know, I'll be standing out there today. If you need to talk about anything, you need to, you know, how do we join the church, or how do I receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, or a pastor, can we go to your office and talk about, I'll be out there, you know, when the service is over to receive you and talk to you and minister to you any way I know how. Those of you online, you can get me via the cell phone. Don't hesitate to do that. And for those of you online, if you want me to come to you, I'll be more than glad to meet you outside. We can meet outside your house, or, you know, if you got a covered patio or something in the back or out front. We can even meet if it's real sunny. Just let me know, and I'll put my sunscreen on. Amen? And we can do that. I'll wear a hat and my sunglasses, all that jazz. So all those things are kind of loosening up and changing. And then our first Lord's Supper is going to be next Sunday, Brother Ronnie, next Sunday, Brother James. So we'll be observing the Lord's Supper next Sunday. Got a lot of Lord's Supper to catch up on. We've not been able to stay with it, you know, each quarter. So you may see us doing it a little more often, and that's okay. Amen. It's the Lord's Supper. So it's important for the church to do it. All right? So that's coming. And then our first fellowship is going to be Mother's Day. And so Brother John Thornhill, are you going to want to meet with the men today after the service? Okay, Brother John's going to want to meet with you up here. Just kind of social distance and, you know, spread out and have your masks on, and Brother John will social distance from you, and you guys will, men, you know, we're asking for men, kind of figure out how we're going to volunteer it. Amen. Debbie, do you think we can do it? Do you think the men can pull it off? Okay, amen. I hope we can, amen. I hope we can pull it off. So Brother John's going to try to whip us all up into shape and get us ready for that first fellowship back. It's going to be good, amen. Mother's Day, we're going to honor them moms. That's right. Very good. Outstanding. All right. Is that all? Is that everything? We had a huge, Miss Sissy, give us that rundown on the fundraiser. We didn't have our chili cook-off, but we had an awesome fundraiser. Okay. $16,356. Wow. In all of the years doing this, Sissy, have we ever had that much? Yeah, there's no expenses coming out of it. There's no jumper house to pay for, no Cokes, no food. I mean, it's just all, that's amazing. It's huge. So what a great fundraiser. Let's give the Lord a hand for that fundraiser. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, good stuff, good stuff. God's blessing. Amen. God blesses. All right, so let's take our Bibles then. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy Inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 10, we'll begin reading here in verse 25. We'll pick it up where we ended last Sunday, and we'll take it on through verse 31. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, those of you online with us, Matthew 10, 25, and we'll take it through verse 31. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 25, taking it through verse 31. If you found that this morning, would you say, yes, sir. And then amen. And then hallelujah. All right, let's read it then. All right. The Word of God reads in Matthew 10, verse 25. It says, It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? We get to verse 26, the meat of the matter today. Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for the truth today. And Lord, my prayer as I've prayed this week is that, Lord, we would transcend, we would rise above, we would grow past. Lord, we would get equipped up so that the fear of man, when it comes to spreading the gospel, the fear of people when it comes to sharing the truth with them, the fear of those in authority that might come against us, Lord, we just kind of let that fear roll off our backs like water off a duck's back. We just kind of let it just shed off of us, Lord. We wouldn't give it a second thought. Father God, help us with the anxiety of life. Help us with the things that hinder us from really being the effective disciples that you would have us be. Lord, there's a want to down deep in us. The gospel's in there. The Spirit has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and so we're alive in Christ. And Lord, we want to share. We want to get it out, and we're going to get it out. But God, help us get past that fear of man that many, many times holds us back. We want to transcend it. We want to rise above it. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here today, those that are watching online. Thank you for your church here, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless as you have blessed. Thank you, Lord, that you just, Lord, you have a people that serve you here that want to see something great happen for you in their own personal lives and in their church family. So, Lord, we're looking to you, we're praying to you, and we're seeking you. We want to be receptive to the Word. We want to be open to the Word today. We'll be humble, Lord, and we'll be usable by you. Thank you for loving us and for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may you just add his tremendous blessing to it. You be in prayer for me. There's a lot going on. I got the call from my mom yesterday, and she was letting me know that my dad wants to see me face to face. So he's struggling there, trying to get over that. He's over the COVID, but he's not gotten over the side effects or the repercussions of it. So I'll be trying to make preparations to get to Duncanville sometime this week and spend some time with my dad face to face and see him eye to eye. You know, we've talked on the phone. We try to talk on the phone once a week, something like that, week and a half or so. But need to see him and talk to him, hold his hand, you know, love on him a little bit and all that stuff. So you be in prayer for me. Got a lot going on. Got a wedding coming. So cars and house got torn up by the hail. Some of you live in that same deal. So just a lot going on in my life as we seek to try to lead you and serve you and all that stuff. So where are we at here? We are at this point in this junction, this part of the passage, talking about, or we want to receive today, we want to let it just kind of be engrafted into us, how to, those of you online, here we go, how to courageously proclaim the gospel message, courageously. Now you want to do it with kindness, and you want to do it with compassion, but Ronnie Lee, man, we got to get the courage of it, right? We can't let the fear of man run us around and trip us up and slow us down. When we look at this passage and think about where we've come in this Matthew chapter 10, what has Jesus done here? What has he continued on with? Jesus is honest, continually honest. He will be honest with his disciples all the way to the end. Jesus is perfectly honest, continually honest in his dealings with his apostles, with his disciples. As we go forward from here, his disciples will begin to fall away, and it'll just be these apostles and just a few disciples around them. But he's completely honest with them about how to proclaim his gospel. He doesn't sugarcoat it, does he? He lays the danger and the pitfalls for all to think through and ponder the risks and the costs of sharing his gospel. The risks and the costs. And hey, we've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll tell you again and again. You are a key player in the battle between good and evil. I'm telling you, man, you've been put here for a reason, for a purpose. If you're saved today, you have the gospel ball, and there is the field. And friend, you need to get a first down, and you need to get a touchdown, and you need to get a field goal, and you need to get a two-point conversion, and we need to put you on another field, and you need to get a home run, and this other field, and you need to get 2 points or 3 points. You've got the gospel ball, and you've got to score with that thing. You've got to score with it. As key players, we too must think about the costs and the pitfalls of sharing the gospel. Because in the grand scheme of things, we too, all of us. That's a music group, isn't it? You too? It is, yeah. Me too, you too, and all of us too, right? Making words up as I go. We have all been called to be His representatives in this world, right? Don't write the way I talk, young people. You'll get an F on your paper. Amen? Don't write the way I talk. Just listen to it and try to absorb it, right? In His words, in this portion of Scripture, it gives us a sense of the seriousness of our mission. Oh, there's a seriousness to it. In the midst of the warnings and the dangers, three times in this passage, Jesus issues the repeated command to not be afraid to those who oppose the gospel. This morning's passage, then, is meant for sent followers of Jesus Christ who are to live the gospel before a hostile humanity and tell the gospel truth to a hostile humanity. We live it before them, and we tell it to them. Now, we can be encouraged. You can be encouraged today if you receive the encouragement. You can be. You can be encouraged today to not fear man, to not fear humanity, to not fear people, to not fear others when we are doing God's will and accomplishing God's work for His purposes and for His glory. We can grow to the point. You really can. You can grow to the point, if you've not already, you can grow to the point that when you are faced with the fear of man, that you can rise above it. You can rise above it, friend. Rise above it with gospel courage. Gospel courage. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, this thing called gospel courage. This passage is for you, for me, for us. When the gentle prompting of the Holy Spirit tells you to tell somebody, tells you to tell somebody about Jesus' gospel, and you are tempted by fear to shrink back from His leadership to spread the word. See, stop and think of what's making you afraid. Why do I step back? I know I'm saved. I know I've got the gospel. I know I'm running with a gospel ball, or I'm getting ready to throw the gospel ball, or I'm getting ready to kick the gospel. I know I'm in the game, the big battle of good and evil. I know all that, but what I need to stop and think, what is making me afraid to share this very gospel, this very precious thing, this thing that has saved me, right? Well, I don't have an exhaustive list of why we're afraid, but I do kind of have a representative list. Now, I believe this to be true for a lot of us. You do not want, you know, there's some accountability here. You know, you've got some responsibility to this. And so you do not want to give the message incorrectly. Man, I don't want to mess that up. Pastor, Lord, God, Holy Spirit, I don't want to mess the message up. I want to give the message correctly. I don't want to give it incorrectly. And so there's a fear there. And so we kind of push ourselves down, and we make ourselves less than what we are when it comes to gospel proclaimers, and we think that only Brother Marco or Pastor Steve or one of the school teachers here or one of the deacons or the Sunday school teachers, they're really the only people that are qualified, you know, gifted to share the gospel. Well, that's just not true. Everybody who's received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is qualified. I mean, if he's touched you, man, you need to share with people how you've been touched and how he can touch them too. Amen? So you don't want to mess it up, right? So maybe you're afraid there. You do not want to offend. Maybe that's a fear. You don't want to offend. You don't want to be offensive, right, when it comes to telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're afraid of being offensive because of the potential. We don't know until we share. It's kind of a potential response from the person or persons that we are sharing with. And the responses are all over the board. The responses can range from people just being indifferent to us, right? They just don't care. That's rejection. You know, when they're indifferent, they just don't care. That's rejection. To somebody really rejecting the gospel, saying, man, get out of my face, you crazy Bible-thumping Jesus freak. I mean, it goes from indifference to that, Kathy, right? And then it goes from not just indifference to really outright rejection. Then it goes to anger and then to ridicule, you know, where they're coming against you because you have shared with them the gospel. They're coming after you, right? And today, you know, for young people, I mean, how do they go after each other? It's not in the hall and it's not after school anymore. They go after each other on the social media, right? They tweet about it, or they text about it, or they Facebook about it, right? I mean, they get out there and they drag each other through the mud like that. So this anger, this ridicule, and even to the point, if it keeps on, right? Even to the point where somebody is, their life is in danger, or their physical safety is endangered when it does come to physical aggression or emotional abuse toward us. These are all legitimate concerns that I share with you, right? I mean, if you're going to share the gospel. But they should never cause us to freeze up and to be silent and to step back from what the Holy Spirit of the Lord or the Bible is telling us to do. These kinds of concerns can be overcome with learning in the Word of God, by prayer to Jesus Christ. These things can be overcome with learning and prayer and practice. I mean, face yourself in the mirror, friend, and win yourself to the Lord. Well, I'm already saved. Well, we're just going to go through the motions of it, right? How would you do it, right? In the mirror, right? In the mirror. Just tell yourself. Tell yourself about the gospel. Give yourself some objections. And then go, well, that's a pretty good objection. I'm going to have to study that. Right? Go study that and then come back to the mirror and win yourself to the Lord again. Amen? Right? Right? Practice, right? Practice. Ultimately, when you give the gospel to somebody, when you share about Jesus Christ, those of you watching me online and those of you watching this in the future, maybe there's not a church around and you've come across this. Ultimately, you are helping someone. Friend, you are helping someone versus hurting them when you tell them about the someone who loves them perfectly to the point that they went to an old rugged cross and died for them on that cross because of their sin. Boy, you're really helping them. You're not hurting them at all, right? And we can be sure that the same Holy Spirit who prompts us to tell them will also empower and equip us to tell them in the right way. You need to be diligent and be in the Word. You need to be diligent and be in prayer. You need to be diligent and be learning your Scripture and be all that stuff. But man, once you've done that, you've got it, right? You've got it. So I got to get on down the road here, right? Right? We got to get on down the road. So where do we find this gospel courage? Where does this gospel courage come from? How can we get a hold of it? How can we, how can we absorb it? How can we engraft it? Where do we find our motivation to not fear, but be courageous? Well, three things right out of this passage. Number one, if you're taking notes, from the fact that truth will be revealed. Truth will be revealed, right? Truth will be. Is anybody hot? Got a few hots. So, yep, 3-4 hots. So let's bump it on. If we don't bump it on, we'll have some, it will go past hot and it will be sleep time, right? Right? And you can use these messages to fall asleep by if you need them. You're not hurting my feelings, amen? You want to put Pastor Steve on YouTube and go to bed, put Pastor Steve on and go to you. That's fine with me, right? Or the audio, right? Where do we find our motivation to not fear but be courageous? From the fact that truth will be revealed. Look at verses 26 and 27 with me on Matthew 10. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. God will make known, verse 26, God will make known everyone's true character one day. Everyone's true character, God's going to make known, right? You can't hide it now. You're not going to hide it then. I'm telling you, God will make known everyone's true character one day. In our previous passage, verse 25, what did it say? Jesus warned. He warned that if they call him names, then they will surely call his followers names as well. But what? We're not to fear the name callers. Because as verse 26 teaches, the true character of all men will one day be made known. This will include Jesus' own saints, me and you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We sang about it. I will go with him through the judgment. That's not talking about the white throne. That's talking about the Bema seat, the award time, where our works are scored, right? You're not going to lose your salvation, but I'm telling you, how you lived your life is going to be revealed. It will be refined, and what comes out on the other side will be a blessing to you in heaven to lay down at the feet of Christ, right? In the form of rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and each man's praise will come to him from God. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. See, but not only the saints' character, but listen to me, but the evil character of those who oppose the gospel will one day be known as well. What do you mean by that? The plots of evil people. The plots of evil people who actively oppose the spread of the message of Christ. And these people sometimes, I'm thinking of politicians, and I'm thinking of people in sports, and I'm thinking of people on the East Coast and the West Coast. These people sometimes can be made out to be virtuous and tolerant in the eyes of men. You know, they're trying to get people woke up, right? They're trying to wake people up today on this. I'll just take a moment to hit it. I'm not going to soapbox it today, but the big thing today, and it's always a distraction. Everything's a distraction from the gospel, right? We've got the gospel to tell. We've got Jesus to put out there. And there's all these things always vying for the gospel to take the attention off the gospel. And this what I'm about to share with you has already snuck in the church. Not this church, but in other churches. It's snuck in under the guise of doing the right thing, right? It's this social justice, right? Everybody's trying to get woke up to social justice. And I said this Wednesday night, and I think I said it after the service, but you know, the police officer up in Minnesota that was on the neck of Mr. Floyd, you know, he gets everything he gets, right? I mean, that was awful, horrendous. 9 minutes and 29 seconds on another man's neck who was begging for his life. So Derek Chauvin gets everything he gets, right? But that, what's going on there and what is being perpetrated in the media is a woke social justice. They're going to try to parlay that into a social gospel movement. It's already happening in many churches, many large churches. And it takes away from the very gospel message, right? And so that's what's going on today in the world. And it's really an opposition to the true gospel. But it sounds what? It sounds virtuous. It sounds what? It sounds good. Man, I want to get in on that, right? I want to get woke. Friend, I'm already awake. I've had my coffee. Don't need no more woke. But this should not stop us these evil things going on should not stop us from faithfully proclaiming Jesus, because the truth about those plots, the truth about those plots will one day be revealed. One day be revealed. God will reveal the truth after His second coming about those who believe His gospel in faith and those who oppose His gospel out of a love of sin and self. We're motivated to courage because the true message of the gospel will be revealed. The true character of man will be revealed. The true character of man will be revealed, but the true message of the gospel will be revealed. The truth of the coming kingdom of God cannot be covered. It cannot be hidden by our own personal disobedience. It cannot be covered or hidden by evil motives. It cannot be covered or hidden by men. It cannot be covered or hidden by the devil. It cannot be covered or hidden by the demonic. The message of Jesus Christ is going to be told one way or the other. You and I are privileged to have the opportunity to tell the message. But if we just won't, if we dig in our heels and say, I'm not going to, friend, you ain't going to stop it. It's going to be told one way or the other. If the gospel is in you, this is what I think. So you can turn the recorder off, put down your pen. But if the gospel is in you, then the gospel will ultimately come out of you. It will always come out of you in some form or fashion. It's going to come out of you. Our free will, our choice, may determine in what situation and how, but I struggle with believing that a Christian can ultimately not tell the gospel and still be a Christian. Now, I've got four kids, as many of you know, and four kids, six cars, five drivers, four cats, two dogs. Oh, gosh. Is that all? That's enough. Amen? I want to think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if you're a parent, but if your kid has gone through the motions or walked the aisle or gotten baptized, you want to believe they're what? Saved, right? You pray for their salvation, right? And man, when it happens, you're what? Woohoo, we got another one. Got another one through the goalpost, amen? Got another one in glory, amen? You know, got another family, but there it is, right? I want to believe that all my kids are saved, man, I really do. I'm trusting that, you know, we've tried to raise them up in the church and have the Bible in our house, pray and those things and all that jazz. I've got my oldest. You know, she's not in church as much as I would want her to be. But, you know, she's 22 years old. She's living her life now, right? She's planning her wedding and she's getting her career on track, what she's going to do. But I want to tell you, man, I had my socks blessed off my feet yesterday. We went to her recital. These music majors and music students, they work for 4.5-5 years, and they get all this studio time in. And this semester, she's played a violin, and she's played a cello, and she plays all these instruments now, and she's a percussionist. And so for her music recital, and used to before COVID, they would pack these music recitals out. Now they're down to 15 friends and family is all you can have. You got to be social distanced. Everybody's got to wear a mask, da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff. So here we are, you know, we go to the recital yesterday afternoon, and in the midst of this recital, she's got five pieces she's going to play, and one of the pieces that she plays is the Grand and Heroic Symphony of the Birth, Life, Sufferings, Death, and Resurrection of Our Lord Jesus Christ for solo snare drum, 1991. And so she begins to play on a snare drum the life of Christ. She gets to one point when Christ is being crucified on the cross. She puts one of her sticks on the snare drum and she takes the other stick and she's hitting that snare drum as hard as she can. And I'm thinking to myself, because I've not studied the program, right? This is kind of after the fact with a penny drops for dad. I'm thinking to myself, me and her mother are about to have to buy a snare drum. We're going to have to buy the school a snare drum. She's going to tear the snare drum up, right? But she's pounding that thing, making representation of Jesus on the cross. And when it was all over, we talked about it. She goes, did you get that I did each hand and his feet? Well, yeah, when I remember back, yeah, I got that. And then at the very end, where she does the resurrection and then the ascension of Christ, she takes the sticks and she, you know, Jesus is where? It's the right hand of the Father, right? Now, is she in church every Sunday? No, she's not. Do I believe her to be saved? Yes, I do. Does she have the gospel in her? Well, apparently it's coming out, right? Yeah, for a believer, somebody who's saved, you can't keep it in. It's coming out. Subconsciously, involuntarily, the gospel is going to come out in the things you say, in the things you do. You've been equipped, friend, to tell if you're saved. You have been called if you're saved. You are certainly prompted by the Holy Spirit to tell. You are informed this morning that you cannot cover or hide the truth forever. So do tell. Do tell. Amen? Do tell. We tell what we've received from the Word, verse 27, and what we've been taught. That's what we tell. When Jesus tells us, as we fellowship with Him, verse 27, in the night hours, in the night of the a.m. and in the night of the p.m., when few people are around, we are to speak in the daylight hours, the working hours, the operation hours, when the crowds are awake and going about their business. There's a presupposition as we look at verse 27, as I read it to you. There's a presupposition, there's an assumption, if you will, that we will be meeting with the Lord in the dark. We'll be meeting with Him in the dark, either at the end of our day or the beginning, or even both, right? Do you see that in verse 27? What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. What is that about? Whispered in the ear. Don't you love that? Amen? I wish I'd have had some of that when I first started preaching. Somebody to whisper in my ear, right? First couple of messages, got a little tongue-tied, got a little hung up, got a little stopped, right? It'd have been nice if I'd have had somebody, right, whispering in my ear. When a rabbi, back in the first century, was getting ready to allow a disciple to speak publicly for the first time, first couple of times, the training would consist of the rabbi literally whispering in the ear of the would-be disciple that is studying and training to be a rabbi, as he would attempt to speak on this or that topic, or this or that passage, or this or that precept, or this or that truth. He would be speaking. If he got caught up, if he got stuck, that rabbi wouldn't be facing the audience, wouldn't be facing the group. The rabbi would be facing his ear, whatever good ear he had. If he had two good ears, he'd be on one of the other side. If he had one good, he'd be right here, and he would whisper the truth, what he needed to say. You're stuck, you say this. Go here. Verse this, address that, right? That's what he would do. Amen? How obvious the application. How obvious the application when the Holy Spirit whispers in our inner man. That is when we are to let loose and share in public with a boldness that can only come from Him in us. Now, I told you, can't hear that, can you? Hold on. I told you that it will not be covered. The truth about you, about me, about the lost will not be covered, will be revealed. The truth of the gospel will be revealed. Whether you share it or not, it will be revealed. Even in the midst of the great tribulation, listen to me. Even in the midst of the great tribulation, when the church has been raptured, when the church has been taken out, the gospel will still be proclaimed. The truth still marches on. The 144,000 will bear witness of the gospel. The two witnesses will bear witness of the gospel. The countless people that refuse the mark of the beast and receive the gospel message, they will share. But in the midst of their telling, in the midst of their testifying, in the midst of their witnessing, in the midst of their leading others to Christ, many will die, many will be martyred and killed for their faith. But God's truth will not be silenced. God's truth will not be covered. God's truth will not be hidden. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 says, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice," "fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." Friend, to the very end, the gospel will be proclaimed. By humanity, by angelic being, it will be. You cannot cover it, right? From the fact that the truth will be revealed, I gain courage from that, gospel courage, to share the gospel message. Number two, from the fact that God's authority is greater than man's. Look at verse 28 with me if you're still taking notes with me. Chapter 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The two words translated for fear, the two words here in the New Testament Greek, it's the same word, The two words translated fear in this verse are exactly the same in the original language, but they describe two dramatically different kinds of fear. One is describing the fear of man, which is a self-serving fear. The fear of man, which is a self-interested fear, a fear that is cowardly, a cowardly kind of fear. A fear of someone or someones who can ultimately cause us no eternal harm whatsoever. The first kind of fear is forbidden for the believer, right? Now, the fact is that unless the Lord Jesus returns, unless he begins his second coming with the rapture of the church, unless the rapture happens in our lifetime, all of our bodies are destined to die. They are destined to die. We can be certain of this. There are two things that we cannot escape. Death, and the other one is death and taxes. You cannot escape them. We can in no way escape death and taxes. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." So the very worst thing that men can do to us, in opposition to the message that we've been commanded to preach, that we've been commanded to share, that we've been commanded to teach, that we've been commanded to gospel seed spread across this world, the worst thing that they can do to us is bring about something that has already been appointed to happen to us anyway. That's all they can do. That's it. And even then, that only sends us to a situation far greater and more glorious. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, says in 1:21, Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's right. So the first use of the word fear is meant to describe the fear of man. And we're not to be characterized by such a fear. That's not to be us. We're not supposed to look like that, the fear of man. Get that out of us. We're not supposed to do that, right? The other use of the word fear is describing the fear of God, which is a healthy, reverential, realistic response of awe and obedience to the majesty and authority of God. Jesus mentions the fact that God is able to do what man can do. That is, kill the body. But God is able to do more than man can do, and that is to destroy both body and soul in the place of eternal judgment. And we read verse 28 and we study it in context. Verse 28, it's not meant to make believers afraid of eternal judgment as much as verse 28 is meant to make us not afraid of man. He's trying to get us not to be afraid of man. This truth is meant to teach us that as great as human authority may be, as great as it may be, God's authority is always infinitely greater, infinitely more powerful. We are not to fear man, but we are to fear God instead. With me so far? Hopefully so. Can you say I'm getting it? Amen? One more time. I'm getting it? All right. The second kind of fear, the fear of God, is what gives us the motivation and courage to not be afraid of men. This is it. As someone has very well said, we all have a choice. Every single one of us have a choice here. You can fear God, or you can fear everything else. That's how life kind of goes. You fear God, and you fear nothing else. Or you don't fear God, and you fear everything else. You fear everything else. All the neurotic, all the soul-damaging, all the self-inflicted wounds that we have, all of these things stem from these fears that we have that ultimately come from one thing. The one thing is not fearing God first. If you fear God first, you don't have to fear another thing. You don't have to fear another thing. So how do we apply all that, Pastor? Well, fear God and you will never have a reason to fear anything or anyone else if you fear God first. Reverence Him. Obey Him. Bring glory to His name. Fear Him for who He is. He's God. God Almighty, right? We go to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. You can look that up in your free time. Romans 13, 1 through 7. What's that passage? Well, we're commanded to be subject to what? To the governing authorities inasmuch as they are appointed by God. Inasmuch as they are appointed by God. We are to obey human authority. God's authority is greater, but we've got laws, we've got regulations, we've got to operate as a society. And so we are to obey human authority so long as that human authority does not call us to disobey God. Right? Placing the fear of God over the fear of man means that we always view God's authority as greater and should. And the day may come for the church. The day may come for the church. And should human authority ever command us to disobey God or to keep silent about our Savior, we must remember that we are under a greater authority. We must, in that case, disobey human authority and boldly proclaim Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. So where do we get this gospel courage? Where does it come from? How do we rise above our fear of man? Well, first of all, I've given you fact number one. Fact number one, from the fact that truth will be revealed about every person, but also the gospel truth will be revealed. It cannot be hidden, so you ought to get in on the gospel train and just share it anyway. It is a privilege and an honor to share. Number two, from the fact that God's authority is greater than man's authority. And then from the fact, number three, and this is a short point, but let's get it done. From the fact that God's eyes are always upon His people. God's eyes. Have you gone through a week or a day or a month or a year? Have you ever gone through a time where you felt like you were alone? That you were just kind of out there by yourself? If you're saved, that just doesn't make sense. Well, it's what I feel. I'm not sharing with you feelings. I'm sharing with you facts, right? Facts supersede your feelings, right? I'm not saved based on a feeling. Now, I feel good because I'm in the Word of God. I feel good because I came to church today. I feel good because I sang songs of the faith, right? But in spite of my feelings, I'm saved based on a fact, the Word of God. Making sense? Right? So the fact that God's eyes are always upon His people. You may not feel like His eyes are upon you. You may feel like you're all by your lonesome. You may feel like the world's against you. You may feel like everything's coming after you and on you. Friend, you better hold to these kinds of passages. He's watching you. God is watching you. Let's look at the passage together, verses 29 through 31, and we're done. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Man, what a picture of the sovereign care of the Father this is. What were they doing selling sparrows anyway? Why were sparrows being sold? What's the point of sparrows? How many of you like that? What does McDonald's have? That 99 cent menu? Do they have a 99 cent menu? Olivia, McDonald's 99 cent menu? Oh, come on, man. Olivia, you eat all kinds of fast food. Somebody help me out. Who's got a 99 cent menu? Is it Sonic? Is it a $1.99 menu? Jack in the Box. There you go. Who else? Singing my music, baby. Two tacos for 99 cents. There you go. You're talking about Jack in the Box tacos, right? You've eaten them, Olivia. Jack in the Box tacos. You and Grace Barnes. They're not 99 cents? What are they? $1.09, okay. $1.29. Oh, here we go. Here's the truth. The truth train has arrived. Amen. It's $1.29. Used to be 90. Back in our day, used to be 99. Don't you just despise fast? You know, fast food has always been. It's always been. Sparrows were the fast food, friend. Sparrows. You get two of them. Two of them for a cent. A coin. That's a 16th of a denarius. You get in Luke's gospel and other places in the gospel. For 2 cents, for an eighth of a denarius, they'll throw in an extra sparrow. You get five, right? It is the fast food of the first century. These things were so plentiful, they would harvest these things from the air with nets, with whatever, get them on the ground, wring their little necks, pluck them, roast them, and sell them. Two for a what? Two for a coin or five for two coins, right? Jesus is talking about the fast food of the day. If he keeps track of the fast food of the day, I mean, these things are so plentiful and they're out of the sky and they're plucking them and wringing them and cooking them and selling them. If they're that important to the Savior that he knows when every single one of these little bitty birds, what do they weigh? 2.5 ounces, 3 ounces apiece? You're not getting much. That's why they're so cheap. If he's keeping track of when one of those dies and it falls and is harvested for fast food in the first century, how much more is he keeping track of you? How much more valuable are you? He's created you in his image. Male and female, he made them, right? How much more valuable are you to God? Oh, friend, you want gospel courage? He watches you. He watches you, right? There is a ticker going on in heaven right now of the few hairs on Jane's head and the many hairs on Kathy's head. Amen? There's a ticker. She's got more ticks than he's got. His number's bigger, right? Right? You can take your hand and run through your hair. Now, I don't do this because I don't have much hair left, but you could take that hand and close those fingers and go through your hair. And it kind of feels good when you do that, but I don't do that because I don't have much hair. But if you were to do that and close your fingers and come up out of there and have a few hairs in your hand, you've just changed your number in heaven. He knows. He's watching you that close. Where does the courage come from to share the gospel? It comes from the fact that the truth will be revealed. It comes from the fact that His authority is greater than man's. It comes from the fact that we are always under His watching eye as key players in the battle of good and evil. The passage to always kind of hold on to. This passage is a good one to hold on to, but kind of a compilation passage to go with it is Romans 8, 35 through 39. We kind of referred to this Wednesday night as we were closing out Wednesday night Bible study. We didn't, I don't think, quote it, but we'll quote it here. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, friend, what a friend you have in Jesus. What a Savior, what a God you have watching over you. He's invested. He's got skin in the game, man. He's your every move. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear him. You just obey God. Live the gospel. Tell the gospel. Pastor, I'm afraid. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to get it wrong. Read your Bible. Pray it through. Come talk to me. Tell yourself the gospel in the mirror. We'll get you practice up. You'll be ready to go. Well, what if they give me a question? Go back and study it. What if they say, don't tell me? Then don't tell them. Pray for them. Go to the next person and share the gospel. Amen? We can share the message of the gospel courageously when we remember the three things Jesus teaches us that help us work through and get past the fear of man. You can do it by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We can do it. We can get past the fear of man. And for those of you that have gotten past it, thank you. Keep on keeping on. For those of you in the midst of trying to get past it, keep working. Work your relationship. Keep meeting with Jesus. I'm telling you, you're going to get past it. And it's going to be great. And you are going to be the witness and the evangelizer and the soul winner and the gospel sharer that you always knew you could be, that God's called you to be. You're going to be that individual. His Bible what? Says you can. His Bible says you can rise above it. So what do? Rise above. Amen? Brother Ronnie Lee, you close us with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Yes. Amen. Remember, Brother John wants to meet with you guys down front. Talk about Mother's Day in a couple weeks. And for the rest of you, you're dismissed.